But we'll see what happens. Again, it's good to be back, and unfortunately, we have to head back on Friday. And just pray for us that God will keep us safe as we head back. We came on a train. Can you imagine that? On a train, 42 hours on the train. But I tell you what, I'm looking forward to going back. Amen. I love the train, and we're always flying, but this time we decided to take a train, and half the kids have never been on the train, and so it was really exciting, and the seats are almost like business class seats, amen, and you can't walk around on the plane, but you can walk around on the train, amen, and then best yet, you can get off the train after like, I think it was like 20 hours or so on the train. Well, they let you off for like 30 minutes, and but you can't do that on a plane, right? Amen. So, but anyway, thank you again, First Baptist. Thank you again, Pastor. I'll try to be as quickly as possible. I want to say this to Alexa. Alexa, you have spent 2,160 days in school. Can you imagine that? You've spent 12,960 hours in class. That translates to 777,600 minutes. School on Saturdays, school on Sundays, Christmas Eve, day after Christmas. Homeschool in Nigeria, you don't have the 2 weeks or 3 week break, you know, like they do here. So you just have to keep on going, hit the ground running. New Year's Eve, New Year's day after New Year's Day, Thanksgiving Eve, day after Thanksgiving, they're always in school. So far, you've lived 17 years. You've been around 204 months. You've been breathing 884 weeks. As a teen, you've been going through the motions 6,552 days. You've been here 157,248 days, hours. You've been taking up space 9,434,880 minutes. You've slept 52,500 hours. I think it's a little longer than that, man. And you've spent 7,488 hours eating. So far, that's where all our support money is going, Pastor Clay, you know. So, but I just wanted to give you that statistics about Alexa. So, but we thank God for her as parents, and I'm sure brothers and sister also feel the same. And of course, the mom, she's done an outstanding job with teaching them on the field. She's a very strict teacher. And I'm glad she wasn't my teacher, amen. And she doesn't cut any slacks. She makes sure she gets all her work done. And just to have a graduation, because of a lot of things going on with the COVID and things like that, even in Nigeria, Alexa had to still be in school like 11 o'clock at night, getting her work done, studying. Reading, she's done a lot of work. She's done a good job, and I really thank God for her. And I just pray that God will continue to protect her and to meet her needs and continue to help her to grow up loving the Lord with all of her heart. But anyway, I don't want to take much time. 2 Timothy, please, and we're gonna read verse 12 through 17. There's a small table out in the back. If just take just a minute or two just to go by and see some baby pictures and some things that she's ashamed of, amen, but it's out there for everyone. So maybe you can take one picture out and hide it and bribe her later on in the year. So, but anyway, but thank you again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to be really quick, and chapter 3 and verse number 12 through verse number 17, I'm going to start reading it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast seen, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to take just part of the verse number 14. The first three words, but continue thou, is my text I'm going to launch out from this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father and our God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the blessings and all that you've done for us. Father, words cannot describe how good you've been to us. Father, it's not always been sunshine. There's always been rainy season. There's always been valleys, but there's always been mountaintop. And Father, all through it all, God, you've been so good to us. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be here. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to celebrate Alexa's graduation. God, I pray that that you would meet with us in a very special way. And God, I pray that you would open our hearts and teach us from the Word of God. Guide my words and guide my thoughts, and I know we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Paul is encouraging Timothy at the end of his life. In chapter 4 is the last letter he would write before his death. And if you can see in chapter number 4, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Watch us now, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heave to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I pray that that would be our testimony when it's time for us to check out of here. Amen. But you see, this was the last letter he wrote, and in chapter number 3 that we have read, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And where it says, but evil men, wicked men honor the form of godliness is what it means by when it says evil men. It's not in terms, in the general term, men are evil. There are many wickedness going on in the world, as we have read in chapter number 4. The sin that is going on is not specifically talking about that. In general, there's evil in the world. But in terms of this scripture here, where it says, but evil men, it talks about wicked men under a form of godliness. Those that could be, maybe they could sound religious. You know, in Nigeria, most of all these taxi drivers, they have Bibles on their dash. And they have maybe the Grace Taxi Service or Hallelujah Cement Company. You understand? The Blood of Jesus Hospital. Amen. I don't know if I want to go there. Amen. But listen now, but when you double cross them is when the real them come out. Amen. And so we're talking about a godly wicked man under the guise of godliness, who are full of wickedness against truly godly persons. They may be side by side, and maybe they know some Bible stories and Bible verses. But listen now, we're talking about people that are wicked men under the guise of godliness attacking the Christian. Okay. So this type of evil men are going to be waxing worse and worse and worse. The Bible says having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then we'll talk about the seducers. It signifies sorcery, enchantment. They were some pretenders doing miracles and doing lying wonders. Sounds like Pentecostals to me, especially in Nigeria. And listen, now you can go and knock on a door and present the gospel. They say, oh no, we believe what the pastor said. And oh, he told us his dream and his visions. And oh, I've seen this thing, pastor. And you can't tell me anything. They'll rather take experience. They'd rather take something that other people have said and not take the word of God. But basically, this type of people are going to be waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But I want to encourage Alexa. Alexa, hey, you need to keep going. But continue thou. You see, one of these days, mom and dad are not going to be around. It's whatever that is instilled in you in the word of God, that's what's going to make you stand. So you better have something in you that will stand when nobody's around. Amen? But continue thou. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. What you see in the world going on, especially in the day and age in which we live. But continue thou. Several things in verse number 14. Look at what it says. Number one, it says, in the things which thou hast learned. It says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You have learned to read your Bible. You've learned to read your Bible through in a year. You've learned and you're learning the truths that is in the Word of God. You need to continue doing those things. It doesn't end after graduation. It doesn't end when we leave you to go to Bible college and we go back to Nigeria. It continues. You have learned to read the Bible. You've learned to pray. You've learned to win souls. You've learned to at least try to walk with God. Listen now, Paul is saying that in spite of all the things that are going on in the world and how the world is unstable, listen now, but we have a God that changes not, amen, and that God can always be by your side, and regardless of what is going on in the world, the Bible, Paul is saying, but continue thou, talking to Timothy, say, continue thou. We have to continue with this COVID-19 issue. Most of us are at home watching on live TV. And listen now, it's easy to backslide. It's easy to not walk with God. It's easy to not do the things that we're supposed to do because, pastor's not around. Pastor doesn't see us every Sunday. So what I'm simply saying, Alexa, listen now, but continue thou. Don't stop. The real you comes out when you're by yourself. Always remember, you're always the greatest Christian as somebody knows. I remember a story that I was reading about David Moffat. And David Moffat was a Scottish missionary and going to Africa. And he came back to the States to raise support and also to get some more manpower, get someone that will go with him to work as a missionary in Africa. And so he went to, it was in winter time, and he went to a small church, and he was invited to come, and he wanted to present his work in Africa, and he opened up his Bible, and he turned to Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. And what surprised him was when he looked up, he realized that there were only women in the church service. Amen. How in the world is he going to convince a woman to come and be part of the rigorous terrain as a missionary? So he said, well, that's what he's going to preach. He's going to preach as though there's all men. So he preached. Little did he know that on the top loft of the church had hired a little boy to clean the pipes that was attached to the pipe organ. And as this young boy was listening to the preaching, God smote his heart and said that he would like to be a missionary to Africa. During the invitation, nobody came, but that little boy had his own invitation up in the second loft. This boy, listen now, this boy grew up. He became a doctor. He became an archaeologist. He became an explorer. He became a missionary. He went into the country of Africa for 32 years. He only saw one convert in his ministry. And that one convert was a village chief. And that village chief, when he got saved, he put away all his idols and put away a lot of things that he used to perform before he got saved. And then all of a sudden, he went out and he led the whole village to Jesus Christ. Over 600 natives had gotten saved. The day the missionary was dying, he'd been there for 32 years, and he died on his knees praying to God. And the natives, when they saw him on his knees, they said, oh, he's praying. That's what we have accustomed to seeing him do, not realizing that this missionary had been dead for over 2 hours. When they realized that he was dead, they called Britain, and they came and to take his body. But before he took his body, they did an operation, and the natives took the physical heart of his body, out of his body, and dug a hole in the soil and buried his heart. They said, though he's not with us, but we know his heart is still in Africa. Who is this missionary? David Livingston. Oh, he has been quoted as saying, if a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? I would rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than be on the throne of England out of the will of God. You'll never know who is watching or listening. Your actions speak louder, especially to your brothers and to your sister. Keep a tender heart to God's work and follow what direction he leads you. You will never go wrong by following the Holy Spirit. Somebody has said this, you will never fall when you're always on your knees. The second thing, very quickly, not only do we see in the things which thou hast learned, also, verse number 14, in the things which thou hast been assured of. Things that you can say, hey, I am sure of. You see, in the things which thou hast been assured of will help you to continue in these things. Can you say, I'm sure of my salvation? Can you say, I'm sure of my salvation? You see, because we're in this world, we're not of this world. So we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And you have to realize that the devil is coming from different corners and different parts of your life. He's coming through that door. He's coming through the back door. He's coming under the steps. He's coming through this side of the door. And listen now, and you cannot do anything by your own power except the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have to realize that salvation, being sure that if anything happens that you're going to heaven, that will keep you going. When you have that assurance, if you say, I'm sure that I'm saved, I'm sure that I have eternal life. The Bible says in John 14:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. I am sure that no matter what, I'm going to heaven. You can never lose your salvation. I'm sure of answers to prayer. Has there been time that you have got on your knees and you prayed and you knew for sure without a doubt that it wasn't anyone humanly possible that can answer that prayer except God himself? Are you sure that God can answer your prayers? But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I am sure of the consequences of sin. You have to remember that sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you intend to pay. Somebody said this to me, and I've never forgotten it. Here's what he said. He said, You will never rise above the quality of your thought life. We have to keep our minds pure. We have to keep our minds straight. Listen now, because you will never rise above the quality of your thought life. Alexa, keep your heart right with the Lord. Confess your sins. Always keep a short sin account, Pastor Johnson used to say. Number three, last one, number three. It says, in the things of whom thou hast learned. Whom thou hast learned them. God has put people in your life that have taught you. Pastor Claire, Mrs. Claire, Mrs. Graves, Mrs. Tidrick, Mrs. O, Mrs. Castleman, many others. You've learned valuable things that can carry you on in life. These are the things that will help you to continue thou, to keep on going. You have mom and dad. God has put many people in your life that there shouldn't be any excuse not to make it. Special benefits of godly parents, godly teachers. At an early age, Timothy knew the scripture. He was exposed to the truth, to scripture. I thank God for my early years when my grandmother raised me when I was a little boy. And all the things that I saw that woman do, God used it in my life, and he's still using that in my life. You guys know I didn't have a dad growing up. But God called me to preach. God instilled godly people in my life. You owe somebody something. I owe somebody something. In the back of my mind, before Pastor Johnson passed away, I owe him something for me not to quit. I owed Brother Taylor, he's passed on now. Brother Taylor, I owed him something. Not to quit. I owe Pastor Claire something, not to quit. I owe Mrs. Nelson something for me not to quit. So God has put people in our lives that you owe them something. And the Bible says, I'm getting ahead, I'm almost done. It says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Alexa, you have no excuse not to make it. You have people that have invested their life in you. You have the preaching of the Word of God. You have the godly ladies that have invested in your life. You have no excuse not to make it. I owe it to Brother Graves. I owe something to Brother O. Ever since I was a teenager, all the people that have invested their life in me, I owe it to you not to quit, to keep on going. I close with this. Much is given. Much is required. I close with this. I love this. This is one of my favorite hymn writers, C.A. Tinley. C.A. Tinley was born in a slave home. His mom and dad were slaves. He was a little boy. And this little boy was also a slave. So one day the master beat the mother. Beat her to death while the little boy was holding on to his mother. When she died, they took the husband and the dad and sold them to another plantation. He never saw his dad again. So he decided himself that if he ever gets his freedom, the first place that he would want to go is to church. So there was a church not too far. He would walk to that church and cup his hands through the window and look through and see them singing and hearing the preaching and carrying on. So when they caught wind that he would always come at a certain time, they invited him to come into the church. He didn't have any shoes on. He came and he sat down. And the preacher preached. And one thing that the preacher said to him that caught his attention was that God loves him. And because he heard that, God used that statement to open up his heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he received the gospel and he got saved. He got saved. Oh, did he get saved? He was faithful coming to church now. So they saw that he was coming, so they got him a Bible, and they gave him the Bible. He thumbed through the Bible, and then he told them, he said, what can I do with a Bible? I don't know how to read. The Bible's not going to do me any good because I can't read. So every evening, the ladies in the church would teach him how to read. Would teach him how to read. Till the day came when he came down the aisle, and he said, God had called him to preach. So the people, one lady said, oh, no, Charles, and no, God made a mistake. You're horrible. So another servant that meant well, he said, Charles, you're forgetting, you're nothing. How can God call you to preach? You're nothing. And so he said, I don't know. I know that I'm nothing. And God, the Almighty God, knows that I'm nothing. But if he wants to use somebody like me, then it's his business. Amen. Oh, he was trying to read the Bible. Then he traveled to Philadelphia. And he wanted to preach. He had something inside of him. He wanted to preach. And so he would go to the woods, in the forest, in the woods, and open up his Bible and start preaching. He was preaching to the squirrels. He was preaching to the birds. He was preaching to the chickens. He was preaching to the pigs. He was preaching to anything that moved. Then it was going on for several weeks. And then somebody happened to hear somebody screaming, preaching in the bush. So they came and they hid themselves and they saw him and they went into town and to tell, hey, come and see a crazy man preaching in the woods. It wasn't long. It was three people came and they were hiding themselves and looking, and it was four, it was five, and then it wasn't long before he gathered a group of people and started a church. In his first year, he ran 20. In his second year, he had 100. In his 10th year, he was running 600. No, he was running 300. In 15 years, he was running 600. He went to a church service one time and he had opportunity to preach. And in those days, they didn't feel that a black man would be given all the money or all the honorarium. So they went in the back and they cut the honorarium in half. And they gave it to him. He got wind of what happened, what was going on, and he didn't complain. He gave glory to God for it was God that has blessed him, and his God is going to bless him. God is going to meet all his needs, regardless of what anybody says or anybody does. He went home and took a pen and paper and wrote the words of this song. If the world withholds from you of his silver and his gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in this word how we fed the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there.
If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. How can someone, listen, how can someone, in spite of all the things that was going on in his life at that time, could say that? I'll tell you why. Because he had learned some things in the Word of God. He had trusted in the God, and that's how he's able to keep on going. Alexa, you got to keep on going. Trials will come. So-called friends could turn on you. People could say all wicked things about you. People could say, oh, you're nothing. They may not verbally say it, but maybe by their actions. But hey, stand on the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. God will never fail you. He will take you further than you would ever dream you could go if you stand with God. Amen? God bless you, Pastor Chris.